Coming on the air late's becoming my specialty. Sorry, we got tied up in a kind of a little issue there with employees. I had to couldn't leave the shop for a minute, so my sincerest apologies. I guess that's one of the prices you pay for having a coin live active coin business running while you're doing a radio show. This is Kevin, the host, of course. Coins Plus is always sponsored by how about that? True Wealth is always sponsored by Coins Plus. In Spokane, Coins Plus has been in business over two decades. We're located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. Our phone number is 444-0044. Our toll-free is 877-TAP-COIN, T-A-P, and then the word coin, or 877-827-2646. Or you can juggle it around and do 877-827-COIN or whatever. You can always contact us through our website at coinsplus.com. There are times it takes us a couple days. We're working on that. It just we have waves of volume, we'll call it. And lately, for some odd reason, we've been extraordinarily busy. And that's an okay thing. And sometimes people say, well, why don't you just hire more people? Well, the problem is you know, business comes in waves. And as a business person, you may know that, in the times you're better off trying to balance things out than having too much personnel is a lot. For example, today we've got five individuals working full-time, hard as they can, struggling to keep up. And other days we'll have three or four, and it's slower. It's just the nature of the beast. So we always do our best to get back to you and help you out. If you've left messages lately, I've said this in the past, don't be afraid to call back. We have people calling on investments and different stuff, and I'm supposed to call them back. A lot of times you can talk to other individuals. People that hear me on the radio, they feel a personal connection to me. You know, they like my perspective or whatever. That's understandable, but a lot of them want to talk to me. And what happens is you get this 90% of the people that call in for investment stuff want to talk to me. And so the other employees would have a little more time, and I'm trying to juggle a bunch of things. And trust me, I'm not looking for sympathy at all. Just kind of filling you in so you don't think that we are in any way cutting out on you. We're very legitimate, above board. We take care of our people. You spend money, you get your product. There's no funky business ever going on here. There have been businesses in the past. First American Monetary Consultants with Larry Bates went down in flames there years back. Ironically, he was one of the main catalysts that got me into this business. When I was a banker back in the 90s, and I used to travel with B of A, Bank of America, that is, as a regional manager covering a three-state, well, Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho, Northeast Oregon, covering all the branches in that area. I used to do, when I first got doing it a lot, I was listening to the Christian radio, which had a huge impact on my life. It was like the greatest thing ever. I loved it. I just lived for it. And then from there, I went to a seminar with Larry Bates one time. Of course, I had a strong financial background. I went to a seminar with Larry Bates. At the same time, I got the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And I got educated from multiple sources about the truth of our monetary system, the Federal Reserve System, and what's wrong with it. And then from that point forward, I got interested in preserving my wealth in God-ordained assets, which is exactly what we're dealing with here. And from there, I began to do my research. I actually started trying to deal with coin shops. It bothered me. I mean, they were not pleasant experiences. They were seedy, I guess I'd call them. Very pawn shoppy, very low budget, just cheesy. I have a tendency to learn a lot of information fast when I'm interested in something. And so as I was gaining knowledge in this industry rapidly, I found that the coin shops were not being forthright with me or completely honest in a number of situations. And I just kind of lost my faith in that whole thing. So I sort of started to do my own thing. I started to run ads to buy. I felt offended by the way that coin dealers treated people, the way they would try to buy stuff for far less than I knew was fair and reasonable. And so I tried to offer the customer an alternative. I started to run ads. And as a banker, I was driving around doing my business during the day. I was making stops at people's places at night. I also dealt with estate attorneys and antique shops, pawn shops. A lot of people learned that I was a very good source to buy and sell from. And I just tried to operate on real fair, honest margins. And then eventually God led me to leave corporate America and go full-time into my business. Mainly when I started the business, Coins Plus, my number one goal and desire was strictly just to engage in my hobby. It was had nothing to do with money. I had secured myself fairly well over the years, mainly with stock options and things that I'd acquired through the bank and just different savings protocols that I developed over the years. And so I opened my business with the strict desire just to immerse myself in coins and coin collecting and just hope to make a little money on the side and enjoy myself, leave corporate America for a couple of years. I always thought I'd end up going back. But what happened is the low margin, high volume philosophy that I brought to the business seemed to pay off very well. And we were shortly doing pretty good business. And all of a sudden, the business just sort of took off and began to grow. And then after a period of time, one of our number one frustrating moments almost every day was having people come in who had bought investment portfolios from Goldline, who had a radio show at the time. I had no radio show. And they were just getting charged way too much for product. People loved the radio show he had. It was called The American Advisor. It was a little more simplistic than mine. He would have a lot of callers call in and talk about how great they were treated by their account executive. And he'd have people call in a lot and give their opinion on economic stuff or recent news. And in a lot of cases, they would misquote the news. And it was interesting. We'll put it that way. And so they'd get, that information out there. People listen to it. Then they would buy some of this stuff. And then find out later that their account exec, who was on commission, charged them usually about double what they should have for stuff. And then we'd be left in a situation where we were continuously trying to unwind what had happened to people. Great amounts of empathy and sympathy, really just sad and uncomfortable. And as I used to always say, if somebody's investing their money, nobody would rightfully give up 30 to 50% of their money in fees while they're trying to invest their retirement savings. Only one time ever did I have a customer defend how much he'd been charged by them. And he kept saying, well, they got to make money. And I kept saying, that's way too much. And he didn't seem to get it. But of course, he'd inherited his money. And as Proverbs says, a fool and his money are soon departed. But so I got on the air to try to educate the consumer to get a better feel for how our business operates, what's available out there, what's the proper perspective, how should they be dealing with their finances, what's the Bible tell us to do. And this is what got me on the air nearly, I'd say, about a decade ago. And from there, things have evolved. We've had ups and downs, and we've had market surges, market downturns, whatever. But in general, we are sincerely here to help you. Our heart is in it. We care. We know the industry very well. We know the business very well. We offer the highest rated privately held depository service on the Western region. Extremely secure, extremely safe. Really no physical way for us to ever access your box without you present. We've got the most secure box. I mean, the whole building is secure from the outside in, level upon level upon level of military-grade protection, Kevlar walls, bullet and bomb-resistive polycarbonate, bomb-resistive doors, motion sensors, seismic detectors, 24/7 motion surveillance, stored and located at three separate locations. We have Class 2 vaults wrapped in 1-inch thick T1 tour-resistant plate steel. We've got the highest rated safe deposit boxes that are all individual vaults with half-inch steel face that's recessed to prevent prying. And then we have a guard key to the safe deposit boxes, and you get the primary keys. And that's why we charge a key deposit, because if you lose the key, we have to drill it, tear it out, and replace the locks. There's no other way for us to get in there, period. And so we did that on purpose. Our safes have dual locking systems, so there's two combinations to open it each morning, which means you need two separate employees to do so. We have time locks at night, so once you turn on the time lock when you go home, no matter what, you cannot get in. Someone can put a gun to your head and say, open the vault, and the answer is, I'm sorry, I can't. I just can't. There's no way. You can try, but it doesn't work. And so there's security that goes above and beyond that as well that I don't disclose. But we have tried to provide probably one of the finest facilities in the nation, built from the ground up specifically for this industry. If you come here and look around, you'll see that I enjoy design. I enjoy building beautiful things, and it's just a knack I've got. And I think it's a beautiful facility. It's a secure facility. It's a safe facility. It's a professional facility. And we want to be, I guess, the Nordstroms, if you will, of our industry. And I think we've done a good job over the years of trying to become that. And so hopefully if you're wondering about where to go and what to do, a lot of people get on the internet and try to find, save 13 cents on an ounce of gold. Don't do that, folks. It's a horror story. The thing you got to realize is, think how much it costs to make a good-looking website. Think of the level of commitment that it takes to make a website versus the level of commitment it takes to build a 12,000-square-foot facility in Eastern Washington and be here for the client. We've got to look you in the eye coming and going. We've got to handle it both directions, okay? We're not at the end of the phone line in Nebraska or Oklahoma or wherever, Florida. Folks, I've had situations. I had one here a while ago where a gal came in. She started asking me questions. She had some papers from the internet she printed up from the name of a company I'd never heard of. Her and her husband had gone on the internet. They were looking at buying gold. This company had some quote ads out claiming to be selling gold for too little, but not way, way, way too little, just too little. And her husband called them and decided to transfer funds, $300,000 to this company. Weeks went by. They received nothing. They called one more time. I think she said they got a hold of somebody that said, oh, no problem. It's being processed. Still nothing. 3-4 weeks later, they called again. The phone line's disconnected. They tried to go back on the internet and find this company. They're nowhere to be found. They're gone. There's no evidence of them ever being on the web. So whatever they did, and I don't know how you do it, but somehow they were able to hide that website or get rid of it, and they're gone. They took the money. They are gone with this lady's money. I do not want to scare you. We would never do that, anything like that. We've been in business 20-plus years, 20, 21, 22 years. And we've never, ever, ever had anything like that. This business does have the wrong people come and go. Northwest Territorial Mint in Seattle, there was people constantly calling me about their prices on silver were so terrific, and they were, all you had to do is go to the silver or gold blogs and you'd find out that they, their delivery times were 6 months, a year, 2 years. Eventually the guy went bankrupt and he was gone. Well, the problem was, if you did your research on the owner, Ross Hansen, he'd already done two stints in prison. The problem is he hired employees to sit and blog all day to go to all these different websites and blog as fake users saying how great he was. But you could actually see, because you'd see people saying, you know, he's horrible, he takes forever. And then you'd have someone go, well, I got my silver right away and it was wonderful and beautiful. And it's like, now how can that be? Who do you suppose is lying? I mean, if somebody's really freaking out saying, look, I paid him money 2 years ago and I'm missing a lot of silver, and someone just pops up and goes, well, everything went fine with me. Why would someone do that? I mean, people wouldn't respond that way. It's just, I learned studying statistics in college as a degree. One of the things they taught us was voluntary surveys. People that volunteer information about a business without being chosen, in other words, they choose to do it, are always highly emotionally driven. If you don't see emotion in those responses, much like interrogators learn to look for key factors when they're interrogating people for crimes, there's certain behaviors, there's deceptive behaviors they watch for. It's the same. If you're reading reviews and you don't see natural emotion, okay, it's wrong. It's probably not a legitimate review. And what you're going to see is either the anger. Unfortunately, a lot of people who do reviews online are angry, or in some cases, they're just naturally destructive. But you will sense that emotion when you see their reviews. People who leave positives online, you will also see emotion because they're feeling good. When you see reviews that seem robotic, I mean, and it's a little different with like Amazon, because everybody is asked to give a review of the product they purchase. So if they say, yeah, it went well, got it, everything's good, great, on Amazon, you expect that. When you go on blogs that are not generally associated with a direct purchase, okay, somewhere someone chooses to go, you just look for emotion. And along those lines, folks, I don't know how many of you use reviews or whatever. You know, there's people that are really underhanded. And over the years, we've been here a long time, and we have people, probably our worst issues we've dealt with on reviews online is a specific competitor in town, if you even want to call them that. Just a teeny little coin shop called Redline Coin. The guy has just not liked me from day one for a number of reasons. We have polar opposite views on faith, on ethics, integrity, everything. And it even got to the point where at one point his ex-wife was, you know, coming in and telling me some stories I won't get into. But that's where I did discover he was leaving negative reviews for us, which is unfair. But, and that kind of stuff will occur. And so, like, I was talking to a friend the other day about another situation like that. And we were looking at restaurants. Yelp is really weird. Yelp is a place that people seem to vent a lot of negativity about restaurants. Everybody thinks they're a food critic. And you just get all this negative, negative, negative. And so I just would encourage you, read through it. Now, don't always, don't look at the overall review rating. Look at the reviews, read through them, and you can tell. When you look for stuff that, like, if I look through reviews and someone's negative and they say, you know, for example, there was some shoes, and I'm sorry to always be on topics like this, but some shoes I really liked, and the ratings weren't that good through the shoe manufacturer. And I was like, what's going on here? So I click on them, and people would say, yeah, I received the shoes, and they're too small. And they're not the same as the shoes I thought they were, and so I'm going to return them. And they give them a one star. It's like, okay, wait a minute. The shoe is not the right size, so you got to replace that. And you thought you were getting a different shoe. Okay. So whose fault is that? I don't know. But does the seller really deserve to be neg bombed on something like that? I say probably not. So when I read reviews, I look for substance. If someone says, yeah, I bought these shoes, I wore them for, or if say there's three reviews and they all say, well, we bought these shoes and within the first month, you know, they tore out at the inseam and the company was horrible to deal with, couldn't get a hold of them, and they sent me the wrong product. They wouldn't answer the phones. Their service was bad. Now I'm going to be like, okay, there's something serious going on here. But when people, sometimes people don't understand rating systems, and I know because I'm kind of a car buff, and I've got friends that are in the car business, including one who's a service manager for a real nice upper line automobile line. And people will leave 2 stars because the damage repairs cost a lot. Okay, so say they go in, they find out that their head's cracked on their motor, and it's very expensive because they own a Mercedes, and they don't like the price because it's a Mercedes, and so they go put a negative on the dealer. Well, that's not fair. The dealer technically is just the messenger at that point. So without further ado, just, you know, everything you do in life, Christ says, wise as serpents, right? Innocent as doves. That's the way you go through life. And remember, that scripture that says to be as wise as serpents, ironically, means to be as wise as the devil, doesn't it? I mean, that is a concept that is beyond comprehension. And then at the same time, innocent as doves, right? Now, that's Christ telling us that you can actually entertain, comprehend, whatever you want to call it. Very heavy, heavy concepts. I always use the example of the homicide investigator that specializes in childhood murders or pedophilia or something really deeply disturbing, terribly disturbing. And yet they will... I've known guys like this that are great believers. I know DEA agents. I know people that are just good Christian men, but they deal with the real wretched side of life, a real terrible side of life. I know a guy who deals with children who have to be removed from homes in the city from extraordinarily terrible situations, abuse, sexual molestation. He's found children in environments you would not ever even leave an animal in. Locked in rooms with feces everywhere and food thrown at them. I mean, locked in closets. Just terrible things. Sick things. And yet these people are still good believers. So when Christ says be as wise as a serpent, okay, and innocent as doves, just remember you can – there's something about the way God made us that we can compartmentalize. One thing that's really interesting is I spoke with a woman once. I have a friend who has been severely sexually molested as a child by his own father for a very long, long, long time, and he's very scarred, and it's really shut off such a huge portion of his brain, it's basically limited his ability to function properly. And when I spoke to a woman who specialized in it, she was telling me how they fracture their personality. They actually, the stress and pressure and strain is so great that we compartmentalize terrible things that we know that we would not normally engage in. And as children, we're being forced by adults to behave in ways that are heinous and painful and terrible. And so we fracture personalities. So modern psychology is telling us that what we refer to as split personality disorder doesn't exist, okay? However, specialists that deal in early childhood trauma have evidence that fractured personalities exist, split personalities exist, and it's the way we cope. And what happens in these situations, these people develop different personalities. They'll have a little child side that comes out and just acts really bizarre and wimpy and simple and powerless. And then they'll have another side that comes out like this roaring lion, this protector that they see it as. The problem is that these personalities show up at the wrong time. When they're being challenged, they may come out too strong, or the memories may trigger this stuff. And so somehow that is a representation of the fact that we do compartmentalize. The biggest problem is when this kind of trauma takes place, it's very difficult to treat, and people have to relive it, sadly, to get it out of there. And that is why Jesus himself, I've read recently, on the show, where he said, if you do to the least of these, you would be so much better off if a millstone, a large millstone, were tied around your neck and you were cast into the sea than when I personally cast you into the fiery lake of hell, is what Jesus says. He has no empathy for these people, no sympathy. He says stumbling blocks will come, there's no doubt, but he goes, woe to the man by whom it comes. This is another testimony for our free will, folks. You know, people think we do have destinies and all this stuff, and that, you know, God is in control. Yes, he is. But you have to understand the comprehension or the concept that although God is completely sovereign, okay, complete sovereignty does not mean complete exercise or abuse of power. Okay, so what I mean by this is just because God can control every single thing and could hypothetically make us puppets, he does not, nor would he. Okay, the whole point of our existence is free will acceptance of him. Believe it or not, when we read scriptures and it talks about, you know, be joyous when you go through trials and tribulations and temptations, to embrace it, to be happy, to know that God disciplines those he loves. And the word for discipline basically translates to boot camp. He wants to strengthen us, okay? So what you need to picture is a God who's very real, who stands by the sidelines. He cares about each and every one of us legitimately. Just because you can't comprehend it in mass, it's true. And he watches you, and he lets you be tested and pushed, and oftentimes beyond what you can think you could ever bear. You're like, God, how can I take any more? And another thing piles, and another thing piles, and another. And you're like, Lord, please. And it just keeps going and going. But he knows that you're strengthening yourself. And he stands by the sidelines, and he waits, and he watches, and he looks for prayer. He looks for requests. There are many times that I believe God waits for us to pray and ask and submit to him. On a real dumb, low level, an example I can use is when I lose something. I cannot tell you. I could not count. I couldn't even calculate how high the percentage is when I will be running around looking for something, keys or whatever, and I hear God say, Kevin. And I'm like, yes, Lord. God, those are the times that God says, Kevin, I want you to stop. I want you to refer to me. I want you to draw from me. I want you to remember me. And I will stop and say, Lord, you know, I'll pray about something. I'll relax. I'll say, Lord, please help me to find my keys. I know you know where they are. I could not tell you how many times I find them so quickly after that. It's definitely supernatural. He wants us to remember him in everything. Do not think that there is one part of your life that he's not interested in. If there's areas of sin or addiction or whatever, he knows about it, okay? Just because you don't want to acknowledge it doesn't mean he doesn't know. He knows, okay? He's not blown away when you really fail, when you really drop the ball, when you really blow it. Those are the times he wants you to draw the closest to him. He wants to be with us through our dark times. He wants us to be with us through our valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. We have got to go through the valleys to get to the high points. That's just the nature of our existence. And so he is there. He watches and he waits for us to seek him out. He does tell us that you'll never be tempted beyond what you can bear. There's always a way out. The biggest issue with that is I will say that we can get ourselves in deeper and deeper. Maybe an extreme example would be someone who belongs to a gang who gets beat into the gang and, you know, gets beat out of the gang. However, when you live by faith, God will make a way. And that's, you know, the Bible says what? God will make a way where there is no way. And I cannot tell you the number of times that I've personally experienced or watched people experience. God solves problems. He comes to the rescue when it's too late. A good friend of mine who's a pastor was telling me a story years back and was asking me to pray about a situation with a family we knew that was divorced and had a daughter who was heavily influenced by her mom, who was the man's ex-wife. And the daughter was a teenager, and she became pregnant, and she decided she was going to get an abortion. Well, this Christian family was sickened by it. They talked to her. They begged her. They raised her as a Christian. Please don't get an abortion. She absolutely was adamant about getting an abortion. Of course, her mother was encouraging it. She was behind it. She'd scheduled an abortion. A couple appointments got canceled, which were answers to prayer. The prayers kept going up. Finally, the Thursday came where she went to get an abortion, and this family, the father and his new wife, were even at the abortion clinic to meet this girl before she went in and beg her not to get the abortion. The abortion clinic actually asked them to leave. The girl said she's getting the abortion. She went in. They called the pastor and said, it's too late. It's over. Pastor's response was, why do you say it's over? They said she walked into the abortion clinic. She's getting the abortion right now. And he said, well, with God, it's never too late. Let's pray. So these people said, there's no point. They were mad at God. They don't even want to mess with it. They said, this is it. We've prayed harder about this than anything in our lives, and God has not answered our prayers. Well, the pastor said, let's pray. So they prayed, and of course they went home all bummed out and whatnot, and they hadn't heard a thing. They tried to get a hold of the girl. She wouldn't respond. They finally got a hold of her some later that next week, and, you know, just to, I don't know, minister to her or whatever. Well, they found out that when the girl had gone into this abortion clinic, by the way, the girl had decided not to get an abortion. But what had happened is when she went into this abortion clinic, somehow there was a mysterious power outage that had taken place that had basically shut everything down and wouldn't come back up, and equipment was failing and everything just blew apart. I mean, they could not make it work. And they told the girl she was going to have to leave and come back another day. There was just no way they could perform that abortion. That girl believed that day that God visited her and spoke to her in that hour and told her, I'm doing this for you. You are going to preserve that child. And she preserved that child. And later on, that child was born, and, you know, and the family helped her raise it. And, she became less attached to the mom who was encouraging her. The mom was, you know, doing everything wrong, trying to encourage her to live a real sinful life. And you know, it was too late. As far as from our perspective, the abortion was done. It was over. She'd gone in. It was over. The abortion clinic kicked the parents out, said, get away. You're not welcome here. It was done. And God showed up too late. And you got to remember, God knows when we're impressionable. Just because it's a deadline we set doesn't mean it's a deadline he sets. We can see things going a certain direction, okay? A good example, politics. Politics, things will come out about somebody really bad, okay, about a candidate. But people that know politics know that if you bring the dirt out too early, people grow accustomed to it, they become numb to it, and it won't affect the ballot box if it's too far ahead. The timing is always got to be right. Now, don't think that I encourage that garbage at all. Frankly, what is going on in this nation right now is sickening to me. It's sad to me. I see, wow. I mean, this heinous, ridiculous, terrible, what do I call it, right? I mean, these are tough times in politics. I'm shocked at how vile we have become. Terrible, if you really want to know the truth. I mean, putting it lightly. But we have got this sexual harassment stuff going on that, in my opinion, is very concerning. Obviously it's wrong, real sexual harassment. But folks, there's a difference between sexual offense, sexual harassment, and sexual abuse, okay? So, for example, now obviously I don't like Al Franken. He's a left-wing, radical, hate-filled, vile, yucky person, in my opinion. He was a Saturday Night Live comedian. He played Stuart Smalley, the guy that said, you're good enough and you're smart enough and gosh darn it, people like you or whatever. Kind of funny at the time. He went on, he was on a tour with the USO, the United Services Organization, to serve our service members and entertain them. And he was doing a comedy stick. That's what he did. And he traveled around on USO planes and aircraft. And he took some pictures while a gal was sleeping of himself, you know, putting his hands in front of her breasts and making funny faces. And other girls say that while they were taking pictures with him at a fair, he touched their butt, you know. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, okay, inappropriate, yeah. Is there any damage done to these people? Well, according to the modern era, we have conditioned ourselves that if you are offended or your feelings are hurt, you're somehow traumatized, okay? Now, we're not raising kids to be strong and tough. We're raising them to overreact and demand their rights. But the truth is, there's no harm, no foul. Not that I'm condoning it. Do not misquote me or misunderstand me. But, you know, there's a ton of scriptures about being not easily offended. Love overlooks an offense. It doesn't mean you feel overwhelming love for the person that's offending you. It means that God is love. Love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not envy and wrong. It rejoices in right, right? Love believes all things, hopes all things, etc., right? We need to be that person. We need to overlook an offense. We cannot be, by all means, ever, none of you, I hope as believers, are the jerk neighbor. Do not be the petty, picky neighbor that's complaining about anything to do with your neighbor that is not severely hindering your own life. You have property lines, okay? I mean, there's ways to be diplomatic as well. If your neighbor has the dog that barks all night, you definitely need to talk to him and deal with it, but do it in a way that doesn't destroy that relationship. Do it in a way that glorifies Christ. Don't complain about, you know, their gate when it's open is on your land, or their shrub grew into your property, or, you know, I don't know. There's no end to the amount of stupidity that we can do as humans. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. We love ourselves a lot more than we realize. And remember, love is what? Patient, kind, and all those things. You've got to be a good neighbor. As a believer, do not be easily offended whatsoever. The scripture tells us that over and over. And so when you've got these things, again, the Roy Moore thing, 40 years ago, folks, 40 years in a 70-year-old man's life, he's accused of, when he was 30, supposedly hitting on high school girls and offending them, okay? None of them are claiming any kind of sexual abuse, anything like that. One gal claimed that he wrote some note in her yearbook as a high school student. And then there's a note. So then the Roy Moore camp, this is the guy running for Senate from Alabama. He claims that's not my writing. We want a handwriting expert to do it. So here's what happens. So they can't get a handwriting expert. It turns out that the gal, that not that they can't get a handwriting expert, they this gal who's making these false claims hires Gloria Allred to defend her. Gloria Allred is one of the wackiest left-wing, you know, celebrity-chasing attorneys in existence, just extremely destructive and vile. So she hires her, and then it comes out that it becomes obvious to everyone he did not write the note. It has no similarity to his own writing. So Gloria Allred's spin on it is, well, the signature's his. We think the signature's his. So that proves that he's done all these things he's accused of. You cannot be sure quantity, you know, like I say, just because everyone's doing it doesn't make it right or true, right? So you get these situations where they'll come out in threes. Herman Cain, when he ran for president, David Axelrod, who worked for Obama as his campaign manager, came out, got three gals. There was a year period of time Herman Cain was in Chicago. He got three gals to falsely accuse him of sexual harassment or whatnot, and their proof was that one of them had phone records showing that Herman Cain had texted her. I mean, come on, you know? And then it came out that four of eight of Obama's campaigns, his opposition had bowed out because of these heavy sexual allegations, all false, okay? So basically, you know, and Herman Cain to this day holds to the position it was all a lie, but the attack, the pressure on his family, the fact that they make the media never end in their accusations, so that these people have to spend their time answering all this rubbish and they can't focus on their campaign, it doesn't make it true. Please have the wisdom to be skeptical and enough to know when you see this stuff that you doubt it. We know fake news is rampant. It's everywhere. It's out of control. CNN's apologizing daily, weekly apologizing for false report after false report after false accusation against Donald Trump. We've hit an era of extreme propaganda. The problem that we're facing, or for the better, I suppose, is that we're in the information age and information transfers rapidly. So if they are not telling the truth, which most of them are not, the majority of the time, the truth will come out very quickly. And then they have to retract their stories. They seem to want to rush to destroy the president so quickly now that they will take the risk of reporting falsely over and over. CNN is just getting hammered one after the other after the other. You would think people would figure it out. The hatred towards Donald Trump, I heard today, there's some women that are claiming, you know, Donald Trump back in 2005 kissed me without my permission or whatever. He's already, you know, it's been asked and answered. He's already been elected, okay? The populace, the constituency already said, we know. We saw the Billy Bush tapes where he claimed to said something very inappropriate and about his what he does or would like to do to women or whatever. And we know it was inappropriate at the time. He apologized, said it was bad. Later on, he's saying it wasn't even, there wasn't real recordings. Now, people say, well, how can that be? He already apologized for it. Well, he apologized the right way, assuming it was real. But in this day and age, isn't it true that they can doctor with video and audio at a level you can't even imagine? And so when he's accused of something 12 years ago, he may or may not have remembered it. And he just took the gentleman's route and said, I apologize. And as his wife said, it's locker room talk. It's inappropriate man talk. And now the new sexual harassment thing. They're saying if a man asks a woman out and she's not interested, that's sexual harassment. If a man compliments a woman's dress, I heard a lady the other day talking about this, an expert, that said if she compliments a dress and says, that dress looks pretty on you today or whatever, and then the woman is supposed to say, I do not appreciate you commenting on my physical appearance and consider it harassment, you know, and it's like, folks, what are we coming to? I mean, the fact of the matter is, without appearing sexist, I spent years in banking, and there was a period of time in the 90s during the Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings for Supreme Court justice. And it was unbelievable, unbelievable where the left just had to have this inquiry, you know. And at the time, corporate America got a zero tolerance policy for sexual harassment. So for a period of time at Bank of America, they had a policy that if a man was accused, that was the end of it. He was terminated. There was no investigation. It just was ended. Within a year, that policy was taken to court. B of A lost and said there has to be due process, even within the boundaries of an employer. And we're back to that point where it is, there's no due process, and we cannot do this. The other problem with, like, Roy Moore running for office from Alabama, they're saying, well, if he gets elected, you know, the Senate should have further hearings, and they should refuse to seat him. And folks, here's the fact of the matter. If a candidate is a six-time felon, not that Roy Moore is, this is a hypothetical example. If he's a six-time felon and he's been in and out of prison six times, and he's run over people in his car while he was drunk, and he burned a house down and whatever, and the populace chooses to elect him to represent them, they're the final authority. This is America. It's a democratic form of election. It is not up to the Senate to choose at that point whether or not they agree with who the people elected. If information comes out later, they can look into it. But if that information is public at the time, it is not anyone else's authority to second guess the people of the state's decision. That is wrong. That is absolutely wrong. And if we're getting to this point, we are in big trouble. These people need to understand, they can learn from Trump. They need to realize that Donald Trump got to where he is by standing firm and not backing down. We were told over and over, all the odds were against him. He could never win. He was far too brash and rude and bold and inconsiderate and every other adjective imaginable. But the fact of the matter is, he stood his ground and he won. Now, the problem is, these politicians want to remain politicians. They want to move and bend and bob and weave and waver and change opinions based on the mood of the constituency. That is a sin. It is problematic. We need to let our yes be yes and our no be no. They make us ashamed of who we are. They make us ashamed of our mistakes and ashamed of our accomplishments. The devil is the accuser. The media is the accuser. We are told over and over that it is the media's job to, you know, to check and ask the hard questions. We're past hard questions, folks. The media has become the accuser. I was reading some news this weekend of the approach about Israel, where Trump announced his choice to move the capital to Jerusalem. And then, you know, the way the news is written is, you know, the day of rage caused by Donald Trump's insensitive decision to, you know, violate years of blah, 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 you know, just trash, trash, trash. And then, you know, you get the other side, if it's his opponent, it's, you know, the compassionate pleas and attempts by the victims of Donald Trump. You know, it's always, everything's so skewed and biased. It's just sad, sad situation. I've said this over and over. I'm doing the old man show today. We live in a very difficult time. There are many, many real sexual predators out there, folks. That is why when we use these things for our own political agenda, we are diminishing real criminals and real victims. We're diminishing the severity of true predators hurting, true victims. I promise you, the ones who get hurt the most in all this are the real victims, and the one who gets helped the most are the real sexual predators, because they get thrown in with non-predators, and it minimizes the actual activities and actions of those individuals. There was an interesting article that came out this weekend on Trump that I found profound. I don't necessarily have a lot of time to go into it. However, it was actually sent to me by my mother, and it is called A Different Take on Donald Trump. And what it does is it essentially goes through and it explains that Donald Trump is what we call a pragmatist, okay? It's written by an ordained minister who spent 13 years in ministry and serves now as the founder and chairman of what he calls Racial Policy Center, a think tank that deals with racial issues from a Christian perspective. He said, Trump is not a liberal or conservative. He is a pragmatist. A pragmatist is someone who is practical and focused on reaching a goal. A pragmatist usually has a straightforward, matter-of-fact approach and doesn't let emotion distract him, okay? In Trump's case, this is the case. None of it matters. The excuses, they don't matter. All of the emotional pleas, they don't matter. He wants facts. He wants to make a decision. He says, let's get it done, and that is that. And that's where people are struggling with him, I think, to such an extreme they do not understand it. People do not like Trump because they don't understand that he's antithetical to the good old boy method of brokering backroom deals that fatten the coffers of our politicians. He doesn't play that game. He just wants to do what's right and get it done. People don't realize the politicians that hate him, because they're unaccustomed to hearing a candidate speak who has no encumbrances by the financial shackles of those who owe them or have given them large donations. Okay, Hillary is bound to massive donations, especially with the Clinton Foundation, where, you know, Hillary can justify herself and whatnot. There was so much money. They've acquired many, many hundreds of millions of dollars, essentially in bribes for state favors. Russia, you know, Uranium One, Saudi Arabian activity, etc. Trump is someone who's free of idiomatic political ideology. He doesn't care. He just sees a problem. He wants to fix it. He's someone who understands that it takes more than hollow promises and political correctness to make America great again. He's keeping his word. Donald Trump is fulfilling his promises one after the next after the next. This is very difficult for many people to comprehend, because this is not what politicians do. They lie to get into office. They appeal to people's personal greed or needs or desires, and they don't follow through once they're in office. Donald Trump is following through on every promise he made. Now, there's this, there's sides to every person. I think it's important we understand that. I'm not saying he's perfect by any means, but I am saying that he is exactly what God knows we need. It's interesting, I've mentioned his name, Trump. I think he's, God's got his hand on him. Trump seeks God. He surrounds himself with evangelicals, etc. So, that seems to be it for another day. Rather odd show on opinion. Sorry, I was late again. My goodness. just get things going. And I hate excuses, but there it is. I would say that if you haven't paid attention, precious metals are at a buy, folks, a big green buy. Everything in our industry is value-based right now, value-driven. What's driving me nuts as a personal investor is I can't buy it all. The values are just too good. We've got all the focus on the stock market and Bitcoin, which we've discussed. You can either get caught up in the hype and, you know, have little room for gain left. When you get to these huge numbers, it takes such a huge move to make such a small amount. Stick to what the Bible tells you to do. Let us help you build portfolios, 401k, IRAs, whatever. We're there to help you out. It's what we do. We will help you out. Coins Plus, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN. Through the website at coinsplus.com. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to give us a call, folks. We'll take care of you. We do it all the time. We're very knowledgeable, and we do appreciate your business. Please look forward to helping you. Don't be afraid to give us a call. If you have questions, I'm always happy to answer them. Evenings are best just because of the nature of my schedule. I appreciate it one more time. Take care. God bless. Have a terrific week, and we'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday. Bye-bye.